Thank you.
Next up, call committee report, Chairman Bolzano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning. We have three expected actions for the Scollop report today. One, take final action on Amendment 21. Two, consider a committee motion to evaluate reallocating uncaught limited access area allocations in Nantucket Lightship West to a new access area for fishing year 2021. Consider a committee motion on gear conflicts in southern New England. We plan to do this report in two parts. First, staff will give a presentation on the range of alternatives that are in Amendment 21 and summarize the comments received during the public comment period. I plan to make committee motions following these presentations. After addressing Amendment 21, staff will provide an update on the outlook for Scollop Framework 33. I have two committee motions to follow this presentation. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it over to Jonathan.
Thank you very much. Mr. Peros.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. Jonathan Peros, council staff. Before we get rolling into the presentation, I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware that we've updated the Amendment 21 decision document to reflect not only the council's preferred options from your June meeting, but it now includes the recommendations from the advisory panel and the committee who met last week. So next slide, please. Vincent's covered the plan for today's report, so I'll continue. Next slide. So we'll start in with Amendment 21 and want to talk a little bit about the timeline of where things move from today's council meeting. We expect a seamless transition from today into our work on Framework 33. And so what this means for our process is that we'll be working with our colleagues at NOAA Fisheries on a preliminary submission, but that probably won't happen until early 2021. That's going to push the final submission and then ultimately implementation of Amendment 21 really into the middle of next year. And so we just want folks to understand kind of where this heads and the reasons for the timing of the preliminary submission and our final submission of the action. Next slide, please. So just to recap the vision and the goals and objectives of Amendment 21, the council stuck with the general category vision that was crafted through Amendment 11, which talks about relatively small vessels being in the general category of fishery. We're using the tool of possession limits to try to maintain historical character, thinking about providing opportunities for various participants, different vessel sizes across different coastal communities, and as the council mentioned, smaller coastal communities. Specific to the Northern Gulf of Maine and Northern Gulf of Maine management, the council has an eye and is looking to support a growing directed fishery within federal waters in the Northern Gulf of Maine. And in doing so, thinking about allowing orderly access in that management unit for both the limited access component and the general category component, and establishing mechanisms to set allowable catch and to be able to accurately track and monitor both catch, so scallop landings, and bycatch within the Northern Gulf of Maine Management Unit. For the IFQ measures, the council's thinking about improving overall economic performance for this component, but still allowing for continued participation in that fishery at varying levels. So next slide, please. So there's 10 actions under consideration today. 6 deal with the Northern Gulf of Maine, 3 focus on IFQ measures, and we have one general issue that deals with future actions. I'm going to talk about the Northern Gulf of Maine. I'll turn it over to my colleague, Sam Ashy for IFQ, and then we'll wrap up. I'll speak briefly on future actions. So next slide, please. So the actions under consideration for Northern Gulf of Maine, we're going to take actions 1 through 4 at once as a bundle because they relate to each other. So action 1 deals with catch limits in the Northern Gulf of Maine. And so under no action, we would continue the process of including what the TAC or the ACL would be for the coming fishing year as part of the OFL. What the council and the committee have preferred is to take a new approach that would include scallop biomass in this management unit as part of our legal limits, as part of the ABC and the ACL. So bringing that management unit more in line with how we manage the rest of the fishery. For action two and allocations, there's two decision points for you to consider today. First, for between alternative one and alternative two, and then a series of sub options if you select alternative two. So under no action, we would really revert back to the rules and regulations that were put in place under Amendment 11. And what this means is that limited access vessels would be able to fish inside and outside of the Northern Gulf of Maine on a day at sea. And we really wouldn't have an ability to be able to precisely or even accurately at times track what the removals are from within the management unit. Alternative two creates a new system where if you want to do directed fishing, directed scallop fishing in the Northern Gulf of Maine management unit, you need to declare into that area and complete all your fishing while you're in the management unit. And so to do that, with this idea of conservation in mind, we've set up a system to create a set aside for directed fishing, and then contemplated ways to fund monitoring and support research is separate decisions. So for the different options of sort of how this would work and how this would sort of unfold in a directed fishery, the council came up with four different options. And the first decision is really about how many pounds should be sort of set aside at the outset to support a directed general category fishery at 200 pounds a day. And one of the reasons for doing it that way is that we don't have any vessel level allocations for these permits. This is sort of a continuation of how the council's been managing this area in recent years. And so that's where we came up with this set aside and then a trigger. The other decision that you'll consider is how do we share the pounds and share the resource within the management unit once we get over that trigger point. And so there's two options that have been evaluated in the document. A 95-5 split, so 95% would go to the IFQ and the limited access group, and then we would continue to grow that Northern Gulf of Maine set aside at a rate of 5%. The other way the council contemplated that sharing arrangement was to use a two-tier approach and to really increase the growth of the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside. Once you get over the trigger point, but up to a threshold of 3 million pounds. And so between that trigger point and 3 million pounds, you would have a 25% growth for the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside, and then 75% of the pounds would go to limited access and IFQ vessels. So one new idea that emerged from the committee meeting that we have a motion for today is to add a new option to the document. So what's shown in green under allocations in number two is the council's preferred from June, which was a 600,000 pound trigger, and then a split of 25-75%, that two-tier approach I talked about. What the committee had recommended last week was to still use that 600,000 pound trigger for the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside, but then to use a different sharing arrangement so that more pounds would flow to IFQ fleet and to the limited access fleet. So moving on to monitoring, if we stayed with no action, there's really no mechanism to monitor directed fishing within the Northern Gulf of Maine. So there's two different options for consideration. One that the council and the committee preferred was to expand the industry funded observer program, which would mean setting aside pounds to allow vessels on directed trips to land some additional pounds to help offset the cost of observers when they're carrying one. Alternative three would be an expansion of the NEFAW program. So the fourth action here, research, under no action would have really no change to the RSA program. What the council and committee are proposing is to grow the size of the overall research set aside program to 1.275 million pounds by using 25,000 pounds of the Northern Gulf of Maine allocation to be part of that overall pot that supports research on an annual basis. Next slide, please. So just to say a little bit about how actions one through four would fit together. So if you look at the left-hand side of the screen, we have a small graphic that shows where the Maine DMR dredge survey was in 2019. And you can see the survey included areas off of Down East Maine, Machai, Seal Island, all the way sort of off of Boston and Cape Ann on Stellwagen Bank. So what the council's proposing is to count all those scallops and include those in our legal limits through action one. We're also proposing to use a separate process to develop an allocation through action two. So that's where we get to the flow chart that's right below that graphic. And so the council would take steps to use survey data and apply an F rate to set an allocation. We would reduce that to support monitoring. That's the decision in section 4.3. We would reduce that again to support research. That's the decision in section 4.4. And then we get to this piece about sort of how the pounds are divvied up and allocated to different user groups. So we have the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside, and then what we call the Northern Gulf of Maine annual projected landings, which is, we're really talking about allocations to limited access vessels and to IFQ vessels. And so I've covered what those sharing arrangements are that are possible. What I want folks to understand and what's been analyzed in the document so far is that we've looked at the 95-5 allocation split, this sort of tier one sharing, using trigger points from 1 million pounds down to 500,000 pounds. So this new committee option that was proposed last week is really nested within our existing analysis in the document. The other range that we've considered for the two-tier sharing arrangement runs from 600,000 pounds down to 200,000 pounds. So just want folks to understand what we've been looking at and note that this new idea really fits within what has been looked at to date. Next slide, please. So, you know, one of the questions is, and maybe the key issue for this new motion is, how is it different from what the council recommended in June, which was option two, 4.2.2.2. Maybe we can start with how they're the same. Both have a 600,000 pound trigger. The thing that's happening between the committee motion and the council motion is that the committee motion would really bring more pounds over to the IFQ and the limited access fleet. So if the Northern Gulf of Maine allocation was at 2 million pounds in a given year, the net effect of this switch would be that the limited access and the IFQ share would increase by 280,000 pounds. And then at the upper bound of this sharing, two-tier sharing arrangement, at most you would move 480,000 pounds from the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside over to limited access and IFQ vessels. And so the tables at the bottom are really designed to show who would get what at different allocation points in the Northern Gulf of Maine and under different sharing arrangements. And so you can see that sort of pound shift from the set aside over to the limited access and IFQ sort of as you move forward. Now the change is really about how pounds are shared between, in this case, 600,000 and that 3 million pound trigger. So once you get to that point, it starts to level off and you would move back to the 95.5% sharing arrangement. So that's how things would be a little bit different if the council decides to move forward with the committee preferred today. Next slide, please. So just two more actions for the Northern Gulf of Maine. These deal with seasons and gear. For both the council and the committee has recommended no action. In terms of seasons, you know, while the council's recommending no action, it considered limiting the number of landings per week, the number of times a vessel could sail per day when fishing at the 200 pound limit. And then for all vessels fishing in the Northern Gulf of Maine management unit, the committee thought about establishing a seasonal closure from September 1st through November 31st on an annual basis. The gear measures under consideration in Action 6 really deal with the size of the dredge width, the maximum cumulative maximum dredge width that the limited access fleet could fish in the Northern Gulf of Maine management unit. That's really the only group that's able to fish larger than a 10.5 foot dredge in the area. So the council and the committee have recommended no action. We talked about limiting those vessels to 10.5 feet, which would bring everyone in line with that existing regulation for the general category and the single dredge boats. And then alternative three would look at having the full-time limited access group be able to fish a 15.5 foot dredge. But like I said, the council preferred no action. So next slide, please. So I just wanted to take a couple minutes to talk about the potential impacts of the council's preliminary preferred alternative. So these would be back in June, but for many of these, it's the committee has picked the same option. And wanted, I think it's probably appropriate to say that, you know, what we're really talking about in actions one and two is a new way of managing the Northern Gulf of Maine, with an emphasis on conservation really through catch accounting. And so, you know, I think, you know, we understand that the impacts of on the resource as well as on coastal communities and fishermen is likely going to vary with the size of the population that's in the Northern Gulf of Maine. But these two actions, when taken together and really using the preferred measures from the committee, are really designed to bring more conservation focus to how we're managing this part of the overall scallop fishery. We think there'll be sort of positive impacts on the long-term manage from including the Northern Gulf of Maine and the ABC and the ACL, particularly if we continue to see the spatial extent of the scallop population shift due to climate change. We've already seen those signals in some of our surveys. In terms of Northern Gulf of Maine allocations, that initial decision about whether or not to create a set-aside structure, we think has biological, positive biological impacts. Another positive impact is that it expands the catch accounting system so that we would now be able to increase allocations for the limited access in the IFQ group if the Northern Gulf of Maine allocation, if the skull biomass in that management unit increases to a level where we begin allocating to those folks. And that's not something we'd be able to do under no action. In terms of the 600,000 pound trigger and really the both sharing arrangements, what we've done in the document is put together several scenario analyses that are designed to show what are the trade-offs between using those two options in terms of the growth of the resource and really the allocations for each segment and each permit group in the fishery. And so 600,000 pounds was really a mid-range trigger that the council had selected in terms of the overall analysis between 1,000,000 and 200,000 pounds. Obviously, the two-tier system, as I explained it, would grow the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside, you know, faster, up to 3,000,000 pounds, and then we're using the same sharing arrangement moving ahead in time. What the vessel level impacts are for the general category in the Northern Gulf of Maine is likely going to depend on how many boats are in that directed fishery. And what we've found is that there's been about 40 active boats. There's been about 110 active vessels that have Northern Gulf of Maine permits. So 70 of those boats in that universe are participating in other fisheries and not doing any directed scallop fishing in the Northern Gulf of Maine. And then there's a larger universe of permits that may be able to enter the fishery. And this is sort of all gets at that idea of a growing directed fishery and supporting that in the Northern Gulf of Maine. So next slide, please. So thinking about the impacts for actions 3 through 6, we generally view these as being positive based on what the committee and the council's preferred alternatives were. So beginning a monitoring program in the Northern Gulf of Maine, collecting that data would have positive impacts on the resource and on target stocks. It would support our stock assessment process. And we also have ways to offset the cost through the scallop industry funded observer program. Increasing the RSA is also viewed as having sort of long-term positive impacts for the fishery, and taking no action on the fishing season and gear would really continue to maximize flexibility for those for fishing businesses and for harvesters. And so that flexibility is viewed as a positive, at least in terms of our analysis for the document. Next slide, please.
All right, so good morning, everybody. This is Sam Ashy on council staff. I'm gonna be talking through actions 7 through 9 in Amendment 21, which are really focused in on the limited access general category IFQ component of the fishery. So for action 7, this action considers increasing the current 600 pound possession limit in the IFQ fishery. The council analyzed a range of alternatives for these increases, including alternative 2, which increases the possession limit to 800 pounds, alternative 3, which would increase it to 1200 pounds. Also, options for each alternative 2 and alternative 3 that would apply this increase to all trips, so both open and access area trips, or for access area trips only. Back in June, the council identified alternative two, option two, as the preferred alternative. This would increase the possession limit for access areas to 800 pounds and maintain the current 600 pound possession limit for open areas. So related to an increased possession limit and potentially longer trips, the council considered action eight, which looks at the amount of compensation that IFQ vessels can receive when carrying an observer on board. This amount is currently capped at one day based on the daily rate that's established each year by the by NOAA Fisheries. So alternative two would consider increasing the amount of compensation that IFQ vessels could receive when carrying an observer on board for trips that are longer than one day. Additional compensation would be prorated in 12-hour increments. The third alternative would allow additional compensation for trips longer than one day that have an observer on board for up to an additional 24 hours. So both alternative two and alternative three cap the total amount of observer compensation an IFQ vessel could receive at 2 days. For action eight, back in June, the council selected alternative two as the preliminary preferred. Next slide, please. So action nine focuses on potentially allowing one-way transfers of quota from limited access vessels with IFQ to IFQ-only platforms. This is currently not allowed in the fishery. However, alternative two considers allowing temporary one-way transfers of quota, and alternative three considers allowing both permanent and temporary transfers. During development, the council also added sub-options to alternative two and alternative three that look at the existing quota accumulation caps in the IFQ fishery. First option would maintain the current quota caps, and the second option would increase the quota caps to account for potentially more quota being available in the IFQ-only fishery. So back in June, the council identified alternative two, option one, as the preliminary preferred alternative. Again, this would allow temporary transfers one way of quota from limited access vessels with IFQ to IFQ only, with no change to the existing quota accumulation caps in the fishery. Next slide, please. So just some high-level impacts as assessed in the Amendment 21 document, and those impacts are primarily economic. So when it comes to the 800-pound possession limit in access areas, generally the idea here is that with a higher trip limit, IFQ vessels will be able to harvest their quota in fewer trips than they would at a lower trip limit, which in turn, by reducing the amount of trips it takes to harvest quota, you are reducing the overall steam time needed to harvest that quota. So generally at a fleet-wide perspective, this is seen as a positive thing, and that reduced trip costs will lead to a improved bottom line at the end of the year. Also in Amendment 21, the impacts at the individual vessel of a higher possession limit in access areas was analyzed. This is really focused in on the potential impact of a higher trip limit on the lease market and lease prices. Generally, the understanding is that at a higher trip limit, lease prices could increase, this is seen as potentially having mixed economic impacts at the vessel level, and it's really dependent on the amount of quota that an individual vessel leases in out of its total harvested quota throughout the year. For vessels that lease in a greater majority of their total quota harvest in a given year, there's potential that the impact of a higher lease price and lease costs could outweigh the benefits of reduced steam time to when fishing in access areas. For these vessels, it's potential that the higher possession limit could have a negative impact. The opposite is true for those vessels that lease in no quota or lease in very little quota, in that the benefit from reduced steam time is in addition to or cancels out any negative impacts associated with the higher lease price. So related to the increased possession limit, increasing the amount of compensation that IFQ vessels can receive when carrying an observer on board. This is really seen as a complement to a higher possession limit and is expected to offset additional costs of carrying an observer if trips are in fact longer as a result of that higher possession limit. Essentially costs that would have otherwise been shouldered by the vessel for trips that are greater than 24 hours with an observer on board would instead be covered by the additional compensation. This is seen as a positive thing. For the temporary one-way transfer of quota in Action 9, this is expected to potentially increase quota availability in the IFQ-only fishery. This is seen as a positive thing. It's also seen or expected to increase flexibility in the limited access with IFQ component, in that those vessels will be able to choose how or if they would like to fish their quota or if they would prefer to lease it out. So this is really seen as a win-win situation for both components of the fishery and is expected to have positive impacts overall. Next slide, please.
So the final action, action 10 here, in Amendment 21, would be expanding the list of frameworkable measures. So what's really included in this decision is whether or not the council wants to provide additional detail for future councils about what was contemplated and what was worked on through this action. And so the committee, while the council didn't select a preferred measure in June, the committee did select alternative two as preferred at their meeting last week. And so the way this would work is that we already have an existing set of things that you can change through regulatory authority. And what the language in this measure does is really list out specific things that we might be able to change under that existing regulatory authority. So we wouldn't be expanding the list of measures that could be addressed in a future framework. What we would be doing is adding some details. So if you look at example two, we've talked about sub areas within the Northern Gulf of Maine Management Unit and separate allocations. We've talked about multiple seasons that was included in an earlier action. And then we'll also need to work out how limited access and IFQ could fish the area. So this would really, I think, put a finer point on some of the things that were worked on in this amendment if you move forward the committee's recommendation. And I think that concludes our slides on the measures, and I'll turn it back over to Sam.
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. So Sherry, if you go to the next slide, please. So just to round out the discussion on Amendment 21, the council did put the range of preliminary preferred alternatives as identified back in June out to public comment between the period of July 22nd and September 4th. We did receive a fair number of comments, and those are summarized in the public comment summary document, which is document 3E. The following slides I'm going to walk through are a further summary of that summary. So we do acknowledge that for folks that are really interested in getting down to details of the comments and getting a full understanding of what's there, we do refer you to documents 3E1 and 3E2, which are a compiled document of the public hearing summaries, as well as a full list of the written comments that were received by the council during the public comment period. So next slide, please. So for the four public hearing webinars hosted by the council between August 5th and September 2nd of this year, there was a total of 98 attendees. This includes several people that attended one or more meetings. So we note that there were a total of 50 unique individuals that attended at least one meeting during this time period. Of those 50 individuals, 13 provided spoken comments. We also received a pretty, there's a strong write-in campaign to the tune of 54 written comments signed by 55 people. Next slide, please. So that's in total 67 comments from 59 individuals. Those comments and individuals are binned in the table to the right by their stakeholder type, really representative of the entirety of the fishery, as well as interested public shoreside operations in support of the scallop fishery, and so on and so forth. We also note that there are several of these individuals who commented during the public comment period have definitely been tracking Amendment 21 and its development, and that they were involved in made comments earlier on during development of the action during the scoping period. So next slide, please. So these next slides are just going to give a brief summary of comments received by the under each action considered in Amendment 21. So for action one, accounting for Northern Gulf of Maine and fishery-wide catch limits, we received 13 comments, all of which were in support of the council's preliminary preferred alternative two, which is to account for the Northern Gulf of Maine as part of the fishery-wide OFL, ABC, and ACL. The general feeling here is that adding the Northern Gulf of Maine to the officially to the flow chart would bring the Northern Gulf of Maine in line with how the fishery as a whole is managed, and will have benefits in the long run for as far as management in the Northern Gulf of Maine goes. Next slide, please. So action two related to Northern Gulf of Maine allocations. It's probably no surprise that this was the most commented on action of Amendment 21. There was a total of 39 comments, the majority of which were in favor of the council's preliminary preferred alternative of a 600,000 pound trigger with a 25-75 split up to 3 million pounds and then a 5-95 split over 3 million pounds. The majority of support here came from Northern Gulf of Maine fishermen or other organizations or interested public in support of Northern Gulf of Maine fishermen. This includes two elected officials. We did receive comments in support of other alternatives under action two, specifically the 500,000 pound trigger with a 5-95 split, or another alternative, which is actually not currently in the document, but it's essentially the same thing, but with a lower trigger of 200,000 pounds. These comments were made by folks with interest in the limited access fishery or limited access and IFQ fishermen. Next slide, please. So actions three through five all received 21 comments respectively. These actions are focused on monitoring Northern Gulf of Maine, the research set aside, and Northern Gulf of Maine fishing seasons. As far as actions three and four, monitoring and research set aside go, the comments generally cited the data gaps that are currently faced by managers in the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery, and noting that by requiring an observer call-in requirement and increasing the overall RSA with pounds from the Northern Gulf of Maine could lead to improved fishery-dependent streams of data, as well as an improved understanding of the resource through surveys executed by the research set-aside program. Specific to action three, monitoring, there was several comments in support, as I said. One that called out the suggestion that electronic monitoring be considered for the Northern Gulf of Maine. And as far as action five, Northern Gulf of Maine fishing seasons, all of those comments are in support of no action and highlighted the importance of maintaining flexibility for vessels that participate in this part of the fishery. Next slide, please. So action six just focused on limiting the cumulative maximum dredge width that full-time limited access vessels can use when fishing in the Northern Gulf of Maine. There were a total of 16 comments on this action, the majority of which were in support of the council's preliminary preferred of no action. This includes a mix of Northern Gulf of Maine and limited access or IFQ fishermen. Generally, the feeling for those in support of the council's preliminary preferred was that the limiting dredge width in the Northern Gulf of Maine is not necessarily tied to a conservation rationale, and therefore it should not be pursued. However, there were also five comments that were in favor of limiting the cumulative maximum dredge width that limited access vessels can use in the Northern Gulf of Maine at either 10.5 feet or 15.5 feet. These are alternatives two and alternative three. Essentially, these comments called on the Northern Gulf of Maine and cited it as being rather unique area with smaller fishing grounds and unique habitat, and that scaling the effort in terms of dredge size to these fishing grounds could be appropriate for long-term management sustainability of the Northern Gulf Maine in the future. Next slide, please. So action 7, limited access journal category IFQ trip limits. We received 8 comments. Most of these comments were actually in support of an 800-pound possession limit for all trips, or for no action, maintaining the current 600-pound possession limit. There was one comment in support of the council's preliminary preferred of increasing the possession limit to 800 pounds in access areas only. However, this is more of a general comment in support of several of the council's preliminary preferreds, and there was no specific rationale provided. We also received a handful of other suggestions that are not currently in the document, which would either increase the open area possession limit to 800 pounds and maintain a 600 pound limit in access areas, or a suggestion for an option that would allow a 4,200 pound weekly limit. Next slide, please. So for action 8, we received 4 comments, all of which were in support of the council's preferred alternative, which is to prorate additional compensation for observed IFQ trips that are greater than 1 day in 12-hour increments, with total compensation being capped at 48 hours. So the comments were in support of it. There was no specific rationale provided as to why. For action 9, one-way quota transfers, we received 4 comments, all of except form 1 were in support of the council's preferred to allow temporary one-way transfers with no changes to quota accumulation caps. Those who were in support of the council's preferred noted the general theme and impact that I went over before, and that it would potentially mean that more quotas available to the IFQ only fleet, and it allows more flexibility for limited access vessels that have the IFQ. There was one commenter in opposition of the council's preliminary preferred and felt that if anything, there should be an alternative that considers transfers between limited access vessels with IFQ to other limited access vessels with IFQ. There's also some concern raised about the potentially negative impacts that the council's preferred could have on vessels in the southern range of the fishery. Next slide, please. So for action 10, frame workable measures, we did receive 2 comments on that were in support of alternative 2, which would expand the list of measures that could be addressed through specifications or framework measures. As Jonathan noted before, the council did not select a preliminary preferred alternative for this action back in June. And as far as those comments of support, there was no specific rationale provided as to why. So I believe that rounds out the presentation on Amendment 21, and I know that we'll be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Perros, Mr. Ashi. Open up the questions from the council first. See none. Out to the audience. Seeing none on my screen. Back to Chairman Balzano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I proceed on the motions, I have a few questions for Jonathan, if I may.
Go ahead. Yep, absolutely.
Jonathan, can you explain why we are considering including the Northern Gulf of Maine in with the ABC and ACL for the entire fishery?
Hi, everyone. This is Jonathan again. Thanks for the question, Mr. Chairman. No, I moved through this pretty quickly at the start. So we're in this question, I guess we're talking about action 1, alternative 2. And the idea is really about bringing the management of the Northern Gulf of Maine in line with how we're managing the resource on Georgia's Bank in the Mid-Atlantic. So with Alternative two and action one, we'd be officially accounting for all the scallops in the management unit. We'd be looking at the survey data and would be using that to generate estimates that would contribute to our values of the OFL, the ABC, and the ACL. I think this is important because, you know, as the council considers allocations in that management unit for all permit types, this is a way and is a mechanism to allow for the legal limits of the fishery to expand and to increase commensurate with the biomass that we see in the area. And we wouldn't really be able to do that if you selected no action. And I think it would create some administrative challenges down the road at higher levels of biomass. And I guess, you know, the final thing that we talked about and we thought about was, you know, this is really transitioning the management of that area, trying to bring it, thinking about a way to put it on a pipeline towards including in the evaluation of status of the resource. And right now it's outside of the status. So when we did the management track assessment a couple of weeks ago, we focused on Georges Bank in the Mid-Atlantic. We're not there for the Northern Gulf of Maine, but I think this is a way to sort of a direction for this management unit to go and for those scallops to be counted. And probably not just in the Northern Gulf of Maine management unit, but also in the Gulf of Maine generally and other parts of the fishery where we don't survey, but we know the fishery operates.
Thank you, Jonathan. Another question is, can you explain where the 70,000 pound tech came from when we established the Northern Gulf of Maine management area in Amendment 11?
Sure, you're gonna test my memory here. So maybe the first thing to say is that in general, no, we're using survey data to inform projections for future fishing years and we're using those projections to set allocations. And that's how we've been setting the tack in the Northern Gulf of Maine recently. We've had the survey data from the Northern Gulf of Maine. It's not really included in our federal survey, but there's been a commitment through the RSA and groups have been actively surveying it, SMAS this year, for example. But without a real time series and without that survey information, when the council created this management unit back in Amendment 11, we didn't have the luxury of using survey data to work on a projection. So what the council opted to do in a subsequent framework, framework 19, I think, was to set the tack using what was a subset of VTR data. I think from 2000 to 2006, and the average of those years was 69,000 pounds. So that's where the 70,000 pounds came from. You know, the situation has changed, and we're doing it a little bit differently now that we have survey information. But that was sort of the status of things back in Amendment 11.
So it's fair to say that we established that tack when there was no surveys, no fishing, and very few scallops in that area.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there were certainly surveys, a couple directed scallop surveys in the 80s, but the resource in the Gulf of Maine, as kind of we've talked about through the development of the action, has been episodic. Scallops by nature, I think, are pretty patchy, and there's a handful of places in the Gulf of Maine where we've really seen directed fishing, and that tends to be on the banks and ledges where there's just been better habitat. We know from trawl surveys and shrimp surveys and state surveys that you see scallops everywhere, but you don't really get to commercial densities until you're in sort of more isolated places with, I think, better scallop habitat.
And lastly, and thank you for this, Jonathan, one of the goals of the amendment is to accurately monitor catch and bycatch. Can you explain the issues that we've had in tracking catch in the Northern Gulf of Maine?
Yeah. So, and this is, I think, you know, action two and action three. So setting up the allocation and then monitoring would hopefully drive it at this. And so, you know, the council wrestled with catch accounting in framework 29. And so we had, at that point, we had an increase of fishing activity off of Cape Ann in 2016 and 2017. Most of the fishery was on Stellwagen in 2017. Landings were 1.7 million pounds are estimated to be. And you know, one of the issues was that when limited access vessels were using a day at sea, they could be either inside or outside the management unit, so north and south of the southern boundary at 4220. That the management unit of the Northern Gulf of Maine bisects our statistical reporting area. And so you know, on a VTR, you could put down 514, but you really need a lat lon, you really need a position to try to attribute landings. And I think the region did the best they could with the information. They looked at VMS data. I thought it was a pretty comprehensive analysis, but you know, at the end of the day, the removal is going to come from either side of the line. And so what action two is saying is, if you want to be on a directed scull trip in that management unit, you're going to declare into the area and you're going to stay in the area while you do your fishing. And that's a shift. And the other problem is that we haven't had any ability to monitor and to put observers on directed scallop trips in the general category fishery. And so that's where action three, I think, comes in, and we should start to get a better data stream of what the catch is and the size of the scallops, but also really what the bycatch is for and what's happening in the Gulf of Maine.
Thank you, Jonathan. And thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing me to ask those questions. With that, I'm going to move on to motion one.
Very good. Proceed.
Move that the council select an action one, Northern Gulf of Maine catch limits. Alternative two, 4.1.2, account for the Northern Gulf of Maine as part of the ABC and ACL as preferred. This is the council's primary preferred alternative from June, and it carried at committee 11-0-0.
Committee motion doesn't need a second. I think the rationale in the presentation covers it, and so we'll go out to the audience first. Seeing none, back to the council. Mr. Hughes, do you have a question?
Mr. Chair, thank you. I appreciate you calling on me. It was in reference to something that Vincent had asked Jonathan earlier, but I'm fine for now. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. I apologize. I didn't see the hand. Sorry about that. If anybody objects to this motion, please raise your hand. If not, we'll pass it by consensus. I see no hands up, so Mr. Neese, please pass this by consensus. Back to Chairman Balzano.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move that the council select an action two, Northern Gulf of Maine allocations. Alternative two, 4.2.2, with a new modified option. Create a Northern Gulf of Maine set aside, a Northern Gulf of Maine set aside trigger of 600,000 pounds, with pounds over the trigger split 5% for the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside and 95% for the Northern Gulf APL as preferred. This is a new option developed at last week's committee meeting, and it passed 8-1-1.
All right, committee motion doesn't need a second. We'll go out to the audience first.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion to amend.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay. Chairman no Balzano. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Move that the council select an action two, Northern Gulf of Maine allocations. Alternative two, option two, 4.2.2.2, create a Northern Gulf of Maine set aside with a Northern Gulf of Maine set aside trigger of 600,000 pounds as preferred. Pounds above the trigger would be split 25% for the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside and 75% for the Northern Gulf of Maine APL, up to 3 million pounds. Then 5% for the Northern Gulf of Maine set aside and 95% for the Northern Gulf APL. I'll provide a little bit of my thought process on this. Okay, after 2 years of work, the council approved.
Ms. Bell, one second, not a committee motion, so Ms. Patterson seconds.
I apologize for that, Mr. Chair.
No problem. Yeah.
Okay, this is part of my rationale.
Yep, sure, great. Yeah.
After 2 years of work, the council approved the motion to amend as the preferred option on a 12-4 vote back in June. This was reaffirmed by the public comments. I see no reason to adopt a new alternative on the final vote of this action. And for the main motion, as it is on the board, one, it's a new alternative. And yes, it was approved by committee 811 as the main motion. But if you refer to the committee report from September 25th, it's under tab 2 and on page 3, you will see as the motion to amend it passed committee 641. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it over to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lozano. Motion to amend pending. I think the proper process would be go out to the audience to speak to the motion to amend, and then we'll come back to the council members. Ms. Braun.
Thank you very much. I'm very much in favor of this largely for the reasons that Vincent said, which was this particular motion with the tiered sharing arrangement passed by a much greater margin at the committee. It also received overwhelming public comment in favor. And since the main difference here is the 75-25 versus 95-5 split, I'll just briefly comment on that the 95-5 split was put in place in Amendment 11 and intended to maintain the historic character of the fishery on Georges Bank and the Mid-Atlantic. And the council recognized at the time that the Northern Gulf of Maine was different, and the Northern Gulf of Maine management area was intended to preserve the character of the Gulf of Maine fishery. Whereas on the Gulf and Georges Bank in the Mid-Atlantic, there tended to be most of the landings taken by large vessels and then a few landings taken by the smaller vessels. It's different in the Gulf of Maine. We have always primarily been a small boat fishery. And I think that the tiered sharing arrangement is a much better way of achieving the goal that the council set out to when they created the Northern Gulf of Maine. As this resource recovers, both fleets, or all three fleets, will be able to benefit from the recovery. You'll have the preservation of small boats, and as the fishery recovers, it will gradually transition to a 95-5 split, as opposed to going right there. The 95-5 split is irrelevant in the Gulf of Maine. If the resource does shift, as people are afraid of doing, under either of these alternatives, the larger vessels will have the majority of the catch. I just think that this is a much better way to transition to that point. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up, Mr. Todd, then Mankiewicz, then Murphy. Mr. Todd.
Mr. Todd, you need to unmute yourself. Thank you.
Yeah, it should be now. Thanks. I support Mr. Balzano's proposal. I think that it comes closer to representing the historical access for the communities, and it's really an important part of our community, our paycheck, our heritage on given years when the resource is here. And I'll keep it short. Thanks for considering all this and your hard work. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Attorney Mankiewicz.
Thank you. This is Drew Mankiewicz on behalf of the Fishery Survival Fund. We were opposed to the motion to amend, and frankly, we don't really support the underlying motion either, but see as the lesser of all the evils that are being presented on this. 600,000 pounds as a set-aside is a 3x increase from current allocation. The council has always used history to allocate, and this is really an unprecedented action and really unprecedented allocation that you're looking to, one, grow a fishery when many other fisheries are being restricted, and two, you're not using any historical information. There's no justifying rationale for the 600,000 pounds, let alone the 75-25. That being said, Fisheries Survival Fund is incredibly concerned about the 75-25 proposed split. And the reason is that we only have the highest recorded landings out of this area are 1.7 million pounds, as you heard in the discussion leading up to this. So under that scenario, the limited access fleet, and that includes the full-time and the general category fleet, will never get on an equal footing with the Northern Gulf of Maine fleet under historical catch, what we know, because that doesn't happen until after 2 million pounds under this proposed scenario. And so one of the goals of, and objectives of this amendment is to allow for controlled and orderly access for the limited access fleet into this area. And I would say you are not achieving that objective if you're not allocating something that equal access in anything we've seen historically. You know, it's often said the job of the council is to make everyone walk away unhappy. And that's certainly the case with an allocation decision like this. There's no justification to go this high. We're not happy with the underlying motion, but you know, giving away the 75-25 is way too much. I mean, there's no justification for it. It's just all we hear is we want more. Well, you know, I want a pony. What of it? I mean, there has to be some kind of justification for this. And it's just, they want more. Even at 600,000 pounds with 40 active vessels, you're talking 15,000 pounds of vessel, you know, to vessels that this is represents 25% of their income. So this is a huge boost to that fleet at 600,000 pounds. So it's giving a lot at the underlying motion. It's giving too much, frankly, at the underlying motion, but this amendment is going way too far. And there needs to be balance and equity in this decision. And that is better represented by the underlying motion than is absolutely not represented by this proposed amendment. And that's why the committee rejected it last week and would hope the council follows suit. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Lineup is Murphy, Martens, West, and Hanson. Mr. Murphy.
Thank you, sir. I'd like to thank everybody for all the hard work that's been done on this. I support this motion. Last year, my father and I fished within 8 to 10 miles. This really is right in our backyard. I mean, we didn't have to leave. People didn't think it was a good idea. Everybody around here was like, we haven't seen a scallop boat out here for years. This ain't a good idea. You guys should go south. Nope, not happening. We all know what happened. I ain't doing it. So we actually fished 100% of our catch right here in down East Maine. Right in our backyard. I'd really appreciate just having some kind of growth. This represents way more than 20% of my income, 25% or whatever. But I'd really like to see my sons have a future in this fishery as well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Martens.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to thank the council and the committee and everybody for the hard work that we've gone through on this document and the previous document on the framework that we move forward on amendment, you know, on the scallop issue in the Northern Gulf of Maine. There is always a big fight about allocation, but this isn't really about allocation because there was no history in this area when the allocation was being set. And it was specifically set up because of that history, that lack of history, the lack of scallops that existed in this area at the time. You know, as we've heard other fishermen talk about, like, this is a resource that's right out their back door. It's an important piece of the diversity that we have in Maine that we need to preserve, that we need to promote. You know, all of these businesses need this access. And we think that shared growth is the best way to ensure that we can build a future. This area, we saw 1.7 million pounds come out of that area in a very short period of time when the limited access fleet came in, and we haven't seen it bounce back. You know, we were talking to some boats that were out doing some of the survey tows, and the scallops are spotty out there. So this is a very unique area. It needs to be managed uniquely, and the history shows it. So I really think that this is the proper way to move forward. I want to thank Mr. Balzano for bringing forward the motion to amend. There is overwhelming support from the public to move forward the preferred alternative from the council. And I hope that you guys will move it forward today so that we can be building a diverse, sustainable small boat fleet in northern New England. This isn't just a Maine issue. This is Maine, it's New Hampshire, it's Cape Cod, it's northern Massachusetts. So all of these small boats are going to benefit from this. It's shared benefit, and the limited access boats will be able to get in here when the biomass hits a point that can sustainably handle their effort. Like, 1 million pounds of catch is what the limited access fleets is allocated on a day, right? So like, this is just, it's small potatoes. It'll be huge impact for the small boats. So thank you, Mr. Balzano. Thank you, Council. Please move this forward.
Thank you, Mr. West.
Hello, I just wanted to say that I support Mr. Balzano's motion. First, I want to thank you all. I really appreciate all the hard work that has gone into protecting and preserving the Northern Gulf of Maine. Also protecting the small boats of Maine, New Hampshire, and Massachusetts who have been trying to rebuild this fishery we have that's in our backyard. We have an opportunity here to make sure that this is a fair access and proposal that's on the table. I want a fair way to preserve access and allow all boats in this fishery. I think Mr. Bozzano's motion is the most fair option as it provides shared access and opportunity. This is critical for us and our next generation to our fleet and to the character of our communities. I'm pretty sure that the Northern Gulf of Maine fishery is more than 25% of my income, and I would really like to have it to be a lot more. I'd like to just scallop year round, but I can't with a small tack. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up was Mr. Hansen, but I've been informed that he's had some internet trouble, so we're gonna skip over his name and hopefully he can get back. Next up is Mr. Smolowitz.
Ron, I think you might be muted on your phone.
I'm sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I have a new mic on. We had a little bit of an internet disaster here at the farm. I just want to say that, I've been watching this process for a long time and usually don't comment on allocation issues, but I think the facts would say that the split should be somewhere on the order of 200 to 300,000 pounds. And the 95.5. And what I think is happening here with this offered amendment is that you're poking the LA fleet with a stick. And I think that's a bad strategic idea, because if we get back down to having, if you get them mad enough, they're gonna challenge this amendment. And if it gets challenged, I think we'll be back at 200,000 pounds and 95.5. I think the facts bear that out. So that's my two cents. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Miller.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I'm in favor of Mr. Balzano's amendment. I think that it moves things in a more fair direction. I think that just based on the public comments, what you have is you have a lot of guys that are actually involved in the Northern Gulf of Maine taking the time to make comments on this. And so far, every comment I've seen has been in favor of a split somewhere along this line. So we're guys with boots on. What I hear coming from the other side is a lot of organizations making comments. Maybe we are poking them with a stick, but you're leaving a very slim margin to build back a fishery that was basically a small boat fishery. I was there, I was part of that fishery, as I've commented before. It was largely, by and large, prosecuted by a small boat fishery. It wasn't the big boat fleet. They came in there very sporadically when there were high numbers, just like they did when they came in a few years ago on Stellwagen, and their catch at that point represented a huge share what would have been for us, but it was a very small part of their work. This means the world to us. This means having a fishery, a future and whatnot, supporting coastal communities. It's far reaching, and it's not a thing that's been done before. It's been done before out in Alaska. They realized that there was communities and whatnot that depended on having fisheries be resilient and whatnot, and benefiting from those fisheries. At 95-5 split, the benefit does not land where it needs to land. It needs to land all along the coast, not in just one small port on the coast. So therefore, I think there's plenty of reasons, and I think the council started this a long time ago, realized that there was a lot of reasons to move something like this forward. So for those reasons, I support this. I think it's completely fair. Thank you for your time and your effort, and I hope you arrive at a decision which treats us all the way we should be. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hansen is back online, so I'm going to call on him. Eric Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sorry about that. I missed a lot of the discussion because of internet issues here. But I'd just like to point out that, you know, the limited access fleet right now is harvesting at historic highs, you know, basically a 50 million pound harvest. 600,000 pounds seems like peanuts. And then when you get parity at 2 million pounds, it still seems like a small number. We are at historic highs. We have threats on disease. We have threats on wind development, wind power development. We're going to lose some ground. Global warming is real. Many species have shifted north. So we're looking at Gulf of Maine as, you know, possibly if it rebounds like it's expected to, with sound management, which should be a good portion of the limited access fleet, which gets 100% of its income from scallops, qualified under the guidelines that were presented. I was one of the full-time fleet that did qualify, partially because of my landings from the Gulf of Maine. I fished there in the 80s. You know, granted, things have fallen apart in the interim, and we weren't there. But when things come back, they should be available to a federal fishery. That's the other thing. It is a federal fishery, not a Maine fishery. Maine has a good landings in their own state already. I think this alternative, this amended option, was soundly defeated under the AP. There were two votes for it, which both came from the Gulf of Maine fishermen who would profit, you know, directly by this. The 600,000 pounds is exponentially higher than what's been landed in the last 20, any year in the last 20 years by the Gulf of Maine fleet. That in itself is growth, triple the growth of what the current is, and before that it was 70,000 pounds, so it's a huge growth. And then the 5% growth after that is still growth, and it would be in parity with the limited access fleet, which also qualified. So there's also a thing now, we're harvesting 50 million pounds. If our allocation goes down to 20 million pounds, this will be 5% of, or close to 5% of the whole fishery. If we go to the 95-5 split and the scallops grow in the Gulf of Maine, that would put them equal to the qualified fleet for the limited access general category. It's a whole new fishery. And these guys, like I think has been said before, maybe get 20% of their income from scallops. It's hard to give them parity with a fleet that's worked hard, worked with the science, and created a fishery that's been, you know, the poster child for fisheries management. I think this is a step in the wrong direction. And I do support the original motion that was made by the committee this past week. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hansen. Next up, Fulcher, Hammond, then Tooley, and then I'm going to bring it back to the council. So, Mr. Fulcher.
Hello there, Chairman Quinn. Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. My comments and sentiment pretty much with Eric. I would like people to think about that there's been no cap putting for growth expansion in this fishery. They voted against it. They did not want it. You've got climate change, which is a real issue, that the limited access fleet and the GenCat fleet might have to move north at one time in the future. A lot of the Gulf of Maine permits were sold, the pounds were actually sold off of the qualifying permits so they could turn them into Gulf of Maine permits. Now we're gonna actually end up giving them something else when they had already had something to begin with. And the AP motion was for 500,000 pounds. The Scout Committee came at 600,000 pounds with a 595 split. The AP felt that they had a fair compromise at 500, being the fishery had never been higher than 200,000 pounds. But even at 600, we agreed during comments that the Scout Committee could go, you know, maybe that was the right thing. So now we're going from that to giving them another bump of another 600, with a potential of a 25% increase on 3 million pounds, where if the 5% would give them 120,000 increase, which would put them at 720 cap per year. I think with no cap in this fishery, I think that's more than gracious and compromise. I don't see how any part of the fishery could compromise any more than that. I don't think that other fisheries and management plans compromise to that level, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Dana Hammond.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I would like to thank the council for all their hard work. I support this motion that Mr. Bazzano has made as a full-time dragoman. The sculp is a huge part of our income for the year, based on the regulations and everything that have been imposed on us in the ground fishing fleet. And I just want to say I do support this motion, and thank you all.
Great. Thank you very much. Mary Beth Tooley, and then we're going to come back to the council. Mary Beth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to speak to support the underlying motion from the committee. The process of allocation is always difficult. The EP and the committee have been back and forth on this over the last few months, spent a lot of time. There's been a lot of compromise that's gone on, and it's been hard work by all of those involved. So I would encourage the council to consider that work and support the underlying motion from the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Going to come back to the council now, Mr. Alexander, then Mr. Hughes.
So I have a question, Mr. Chair. I have a motion to amend, and I'm not sure if both these motions are up for amendments, or do I need to substitute Vincent's to get where I want to be? Because I want to change something in the original committee motion. So I'm not sure how to handle that process-wise.
Sure. So I think, and if Mitch is on, I think we should vote this motion to amend up or down, and then it'll either be part of the main motion or not, and then you could come in with a motion to amend the new main motion.
Okay.
All right. We'll act on this first, and then you can come in on that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, I heard some comments about diversity and shared growth, and I don't think that this motion provides that diversity. I mean, talk to some boats from North Carolina and from Virginia. Ask them how it benefits them with diversity. You know, to me, this motion creates a relatively boutique fishery in the northern Gulf of Maine to a select few permit holders. You know, when chairman of the Scout Committee asked about the 70,000 pounds and where that came from, you know, at one point, I think we actually moved that number up to maybe 110,000 pounds to account for overages in the Gulf of Maine fishery. So 70,000 pounds, you know, might have been a starting point, but that wasn't the be-all, end-all point to the fishery. At a 600,000-pound trigger, that creates a fishery that's almost nine times greater than the 70,000 pound not static trigger previously. This fishery is prosecuted in federal waters, and this motion to substitute or motion to amend basically privatizes those federal waters. And now realizing I don't have a vote on this council, but if I did, I would not be able to support this motion. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hughes. I'll give the lineup here. Ware, Salerno, Ecree, Sissonwine, and Gates. Ms. Ware.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to speak in favor of the motion to amend. And kind of going back to Amendment 11, that document created the Engon region with the purpose of ensuring access to the scallop resource by small vessels in their local fishing communities. And I want to highlight that this access to the region came at a cost. And the cost is that the permits can only fish north of the 4220 line. So the result is that we have boats whose participation and growth in the fishery is dependent and really contingent on what happens in the Engon region and the health of that resource. Obviously, the big difference here between this motion and the previous one is what happens after the set aside. I support this motion to amend because it allows the Engon fishery to continue to have some skin in the game. And I think moving immediately to that 95-5 split caps the Engon fishery to the value of the set aside. So it's basically saying to Engon permit holders, who I'll note have fished under very conservative F rates in order to rebuild this resource, that the Engon fishery can only grow so far, or their efforts only get them so far. I've also heard comments during the AP meeting, the committee meeting, even today, about equality or equal access or parity between quotas. Excuse me. But I would argue that this fishery is not equal, and that comment ignores the fact that, unlike other permits, Engon boats are restricted in where they can fish, and they don't have access to the other 49 million pounds in the APL. I would also note that Framework 29 used a different split than 95-5. It used a 50-50 split. So this council already has a history of using a different management scheme in Engon. And I think that starting with 75-25 and then moving to 95-5 is a good compromise. And I'll just end by saying we're talking about 1.2% of the APL, roughly 1/10 of an access area trip, and probably 15 square miles in Stillwagon Bank. So I'm going to support the motion to amend. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Dr. Chair. To me, I'm looking at this as, you know, in my mind, when we're talking about growth of a fishery, you know, we're talking about, you know, obviously increasing biomass, but also, you know, the potential for increasing those who are actually accessing this. And yes, right now, the past couple of years, we're talking about only 40 or odd boats that are actually participating in this fishery from the Northern Gulf of Maine. But what concerns me is that the potential of growth, you know, we're looking at up to potentially max another up to 400 different permits that can actually be participating in the Northern Gulf of Maine. That's, will we ever get to that level of increased participation in a fishery? Probably not. But when you consider current regulations and potential changes in regulations moving forward, you know, I'm thinking about what we just did in groundfish yesterday and what could potentially be on the table for the lobster fishery due to right whale interactions. I'm pretty sure we're going to have a lot more than 40 boats participating in this fishery moving forward. You know, the 600,000 pounds, yeah, that does definitely allow the growth for, you know, more input from small, you know, Northern Gulf of Maine vessels. But to tell you the truth, I see the motion to amend really gets a better handle on my concerns of increased activity just of the small boat fleet moving forward. And I would support this motion to amend. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Ecree.
Thank you very much. So I am going to have to oppose this motion to amend, and I will just right now say that I do support the underlying motion that came from the committee. I didn't support this motion to amend when it came up when we were selecting preferreds, because I feel as if it doesn't match the visions, goals, and objectives of Amendment 21. It's not honoring the existing users of the resource equitably. And also throughout this amendment, I've struggled with the intent behind it, because while I am willing and willing to see the value of trying to create some, you know, room for growth for the Northern Gulf of Maine vessels. I always struggled with this amendment because in some respects it teetered on a decision that would be made purely for economic grounds to benefit one user group over another. There are limited access folks, part-time limited access folks that have historically fished Stellwag and Bake, folks from Boston, from Gloucester, that literally it is in their backyard. And what this motion to amend will do is exclude them from fishing in an area that they have historically fished. We want to categorize this amendment as a big boat, little boat, but it's not a big boat, little boat issue. It is much more complicated than that. And what I see this motion to amend to be is purely economic favoritism for one segment of the fishery over another, and I can't support it. I was willing to support what came out of the committee last week because to me that was a compromise solution that was honoring the user groups of this resource. The second motion to amend does not do that, and I will not be supporting it, and I may not even be supporting this action if it moves forward.
Thank you. Dr. Sissonwine.
Yes, thank you. You know, I've listened to all these arguments for as long as this has been going on. And there are many people who are speaking in favor of their point of view in a very articulate manner. But in the bottom line is there's no objective basis for making this decision. These are all subjective judgments. And I feel like we've gotten to a point where all the views have been heard. It's hard to envision any basis to choose between them if you're just sitting listening without a dog in the fight, as I've often said. So I'm at a quandary what to do. Before Vincent made his motion to amend, like Terry Alexander, I had in mind making a motion to amend, which essentially would have been a split the difference, a compromise that simply split the difference between these two versions that we have before us. So I guess I would ask right now, if I wanted to pursue that, is there any vehicle to do it other than the obvious one to vote this one down and then further amend the underlying motion? I guess I put that to Mitch, if you would allow me, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, certainly Mitch can do that. I mean, just to set the stage, you know, the motion to amend is pending. But I'll let Mitch opine on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It is at your discretion. We don't normally do this, but you can amend a motion to amend. And so that is one possibility. You could for example, Dr. Sissonwine could move to amend the motion to amend.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chairman, I really, given honestly what I've heard over God knows how many months now, where, as I said, I see no objective basis for making the choice, I do feel like the best way forward might be effectively to do what I would do if I was negotiating to buy a boat or a car or whatever, and come to a point where you just split the difference. And for that reason, I would offer an amendment to the amendment, which essentially would be exactly as written by Vincent proposed, except the numbers of 2575 would be changed to 1585. And that is an exact splitting of the difference. So if you would allow me to offer that amendment to the amendment.
So that's just changing the split on Vince's. Now, I just want to step back for a minute and just confer back with Mr. Alexander, who I gave different advice than Attorney McDonald just gave you. So I just wanted to
I accept that. I would certainly yield to.
So why don't I go back to Mr. Alexander. Mr. Alexander, you'll still have an opportunity to amend the main motion, which was my thought, you know, if this goes up or down. But I just wanted to make sure I'm not going back on what I told you.
Yeah, well, mine was a different idea, but it probably ends up the same way, John. You know, I'm not going to complain about one way or the other. You know, the only thing is, actually, it probably would be, I don't know. I would probably abstain on Mike's motion, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. I mean, I'll let you run the meeting like you see fit, and I'll take whatever your verdict, no matter what it is.
All right, so why don't we go forward with Dr. Sissonwine's motion to amend the amendment, and then Mr. Alexander, you know, when we get back to the main motion, either as amended or not, I'll call back on you if you want to make a new motion. So, Dr. Sissonwine, to your motion to amend the amendment.
Well, I think I still need a second, which may or may not come forward.
Yeah. So I've got a couple of hands up that were queued up to speak. So I don't know. Well, why don't I call on them if they're putting their hand? So I've got Ms. Griffin and Mr. Gates. Okay, Ms. Griffin.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, my hand was up just a comment. So
yeah, I thought so. Yeah, I just, like I said, I see no. So if somebody can put their hand up, if they want to.
This is Matt. This is Matt. I could, but I don't think that it, as written, is what Dr. Sissonwine was proposing, because I don't think what he wrote is actually a compromise. What's up there is not a compromise. I think that he meant the 25 would change to 15, and the 75 would change to 85.
Yes, that is correct. I that is correct. I did mean that.
Yep.
And to the 595 stay the same?
And the 95.5 would stay the same, yes.
Thank you.
All right. In that case, then I can second that motion.
Okay. All right. So Mr. Gates seconded that. Dr. Sissonwine, to the...
I think my rationale has already been stated. Basically, I don't see any objective basis for choosing between the various alternatives we've been arguing about. So I offer to split the difference as a compromise. Thank you.
Okay. And I... why don't I call on Mr. Alexander? Mr. Alexander.
Okay. This is kind of awkward for me because I'm wondering if I may talk about the compromise I'm willing to offer afterwards. I mean, I'll leave that to your discretion because
In light of my rule, if you want to say that if this one fails, I got this one coming up because I should have ruled differently earlier.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you for that latitude. What my motion was going to be, I was going to I want to call them the gap, and I know they're not the gap, the Scholar PP. I was going to move to make it 895.95, 800,000 pounds with 95.95, just so people know what my motion's gonna be if these ones fail. So
95.5.
Yeah, 800,000 and 95. The split would be 95.95. Basically, the Scholar PP's motion just changes from that 800,000 to 600,000 to 800,000, and then I think everybody's even. So.
Okay. All right. So I think we've had a lot of discussion on this. So I think what I'm going to do, people know where they are on this, and I think so I'm going to call the vote on Dr. Sissonwine's motion to further amend the amendment. Roll call. Call the roll, Mr. Neese.
So to be clear, this is on motion 2B.
Yes.
The motion to amend, the motion to amend. Please answer yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
No.
Mr. Balzano?
Yes.
Mr. Bellavance?
No.
Ms. Etri?
Yes.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Ware?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
Yes.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
Yes.
Mr. Pentney?
Abstain.
Ms. Griffin?
No.
Mr. Reed?
No.
Dr. Sissonwine?
Yes.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
Twelve yeses, four nays, and one abstention, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. So that would then wipe off motion 2A. Oh, 2A, not 2, 2A. Just want to make sure people can see. So I think 2B takes the place of 2A, right?
2B becomes the motion to amend.
Right, so should we take 2A off the
We keep it on the list, and I think we call this now motion 2C so we can keep track of the votes.
Okay, but 2A doesn't exist anymore, right?
Right, it's been, okay, 2A. We call it 2A, Joan, or Sherry.
So now we've got the main motion pending with that recently voted on amendment.
This is not the main motion yet. It's the motion to amend.
Right.
Right, yeah. Right.
The motion to amend as amended, correct.
All right, Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, sorry to be a pain. So what gets me about this is the £3 million. I mean, we've never seen that. I mean, that's an unreasonable goal. And so that basically means that the split's going to keep going to the Northern Gulf of Maine guys right along. And you know, I think that £600,000 gives them a room enough to grow three times what they are right now. You know, we talk about, you know, historical fishery. Well, I was there in the 80s and 90s, and I saw the limited access fleet fishing, you know, around us, around Fippenies and New Ledge and Middle Bank. You know, I saw those guys there. So that was a historic fishery too. So and I would like to preserve something for the Northern Gulf of Maine guys too. So I really think that we should move back to the main motion. And not that I don't appreciate Dr. Sissonwine's way to bring up a compromise, but that £3 million just gets me. I there's no way I can support that. That's way too much. The scholars won't be.
Let me just hop in here for a second. I'm getting confused here now. So you now have motion 2C. That's your motion. We need a second. Right. I mean, somebody just put that motion up there. So that's you're trying to offer a motion to change this again, correct?
I'm sorry. If I'm gonna motion to change it again, I'm gonna put it to my regular one. I was just commenting on. I'm sorry, I'm confused. I was commenting on Mike's motion. Because that was then the motion to amend, I thought. I'm sorry, John, if I'm confused.
No, I'm getting confused myself here. So Dr. Sissonwine's thing just passed. Right. So now that's the pending motion to amend. Now, do you want to make another motion to amend that? Or you're going to wait till the main motion comes back?
No, if you'll allow me that latitude, I will make the motion to amend. But it's the original motion from the Scholar PP, and just change the number to £800,000. So it's motion one, the first motion.
I would need a set, okay, Attorney McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I was trying to help you out when you were thinking about what you're doing, but you're doing it fine now, so.
Thanks. All right, so we need a second. Ms. Weah, raising her hand to second it?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So Mr. Alexander's motion seconded by Ms. Weah. A little rationale?
I think we've heard a lot from the public about, you know, sharing the resource up there. And I think that this right here is a good compromise between both the folks, both sides of the issue. The split is where, the 3 million pounds is where everything got lost, I think. So to me, before it actually went to the 95-5 split. So I'll offer this as a compromise between the Northern Gulf of Maine guys and the limited access guys, and hopefully people will see it as a plus.
All right, so this is a substantial change to the motion that we already went out to the audience about. I'm gonna go back out to the audience for one quick round, but if you've spoken to it, if you got different testimony, but I don't need to hear from everybody all through again. So Attorney Minkiewicz.
Mr. Chair, if I might, I don't think the motion is correct yet. It's shown as 95% for the Gulf of Maine and 95% for the Gulf of Maine APL. That would be clever if we could do 190%.
Yeah, no, that's why when Terry said that, I thought that there was, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. That's correct. Yeah, Tom, thank you for picking up on that. I didn't see that.
All right, so now I'm going to go out to the audience. Attorney Minkiewicz.
There we go. Thank you. Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. I became an attorney, so I didn't have to do math. So I guess the joke is on me here, because the problem is I can't tell you, neither one of these, the underlying amended motion as amended or this proposed amendment, neither has been analyzed. And I'm having a real heck of a time figuring out what means what. That being said, we don't like either of them, to be honest, but I think Mr. Alexander's motion is less preferable than Mr. Sissonwine's. And the reason, 800,000 pounds is a set aside. That means that we have to get to 800,000 pounds of quota in the Northern Gulf of Maine, and something we've seen, 1 year out of the last 30 to allow anyone but a Northern Gulf of Maine permit into the area. And that is a bitter, bitter pill to swallow. So I don't like the allocation higher than 95.5 up to 3 million. And I agree with Mr. Alexander that the 3 million number is jarring and hard to square with. But 800,000 too, it's just, it's a private pond. And it's not allowing people who have fish there, many different sizes of vessels, not just big boats. It's absolutely excluding them from areas east of Boston. And let's be clear, we hear all this talk about, oh, this is my backyard. All the fishing south of Gloucester. It's on Stellwagen Bank. You can see it when you take off from Logan. I have. And so it's closer to New Bedford and Chatham than it is to down East Maine. So, and it really excluded them at 800,000. I think that is just a bridge too far. So if forced to choose between these two, which neither one we like, I would take the underlying amended motion rather than this new proposed motion. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Back to the council. Seeing none, I'm going to call the roll, Mr. Neese, on Mr. Alexander's motion to amend.
So this is the motion to amend, the amended motion to amend. Please answer yes, no, or abstain. Mr. Gates?
Yes.
Mr. Alexander?
Yes.
Mr. Belzano?
Yes.
Mr. Belavance?
Yes.
Ms. Eitri?
No.
Mr. Godfrey?
Yes.
Ms. Patterson?
Yes.
Mr. Salerno?
Yes.
Ms. Weah?
Yes.
Dr. McKenzie?
No.
Mr. Olszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Pappalardo?
No.
Mr. Penney?
Abstain.
Ms. Griffin?
No.
Mr. Reed?
Yes.
Dr. Sissonwein?
No.
Mr. Tracy?
Yes.
11 yeses, 5 noes, 1 abstention. Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. So that replaces Dr. Sissonwein's motion to replaces his motion to amend. I think, do we have to vote on it again now? Because it's now the pending motion to amend.
If I may, Mr. Chair, yes, now the main motion as amended.
One vote.